B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy.
Steady.
Yes.
That is Tony.
Tony. Hi, Tony D'Amico. You don't sound good, Tony.
Hey, I know what you're allowed to ask.
What?
Could you put on a tape or something to come down here right away?
Come down? Tony, are seriously, what's wrong? Are you joking around? What's going on here? What? Come
Ted,
down to what?
Ted,
to the what?
Ted, I need your help.
What's wrong, Tony? You know, we've had our differences, but, you know, we're like blood.
You don't understand.
What?
I done a bad thing.
Wait a second. All right, hold it. let me ask you one question before. Are you at your restaurant?
Yes and no.
Oh, Tony, what? Why do I have to come and get you?
I'm laying low in the tornado.
What?
They've been going back and forth.
Who's been going back and forth?
Stan, I threw the gun in the dumpster. Do you think they'll find it there?
You threw a gun in the dumpster. What gun? What happened? Wait a second. Stop.
I can't stop. I got to get out of here.
Hey, don't do anything crazy, because if you're innocent, Tony, running isn't going to help matters any.
Stan, how long do you know me?
I've known you.
I got a heart of gold, but it never goes my way.
I'm sorry. Well, Tony, you gotta take this from the beginning. Do you realize, you know, I'm working. I'm doing a radio show right now. This isn't like you're calling me on my cell phone or anything. I'm here, and if you need me to put a tape on or something.
I got nowhere else to turn.
Hold, Tony, buddy, tell me what's going on here, because now you got me worried about you. I've never, ever, whether it's been through tough times, good times, I've never heard you like this. Now what?
The heat is on. Coming to get me.
Who's the cops? Are the cops coming to get you?
Yeah, who do you think coming?
I don't know. A bill collector? I don't know. The mob?
Oh, I chew a bill collector up and spit him out. A mob guy? I tell him a story about Kate Bates. No, it's the cops.
What? Well, then, Tony, you got it. I have to have some knowledge before I walk in on this thing. What are you talking about? Throwing a gun in the dumpster? The cops are after you? You're hiding in the tornado? My God, I've never heard this from you.
I got to take a deep breath here. I think I'm having it. They call it an ITA.
Take a deep breath and a drag off that smoke that I know is burning in the ashtray in the tornado.
That's what they call it, a mini stove.
Are you? I do. As a matter of fact, I almost hear you slurring your words a little bit, too. Take a good drag off that smoke. It'll clear up.
You know what? You're right.
What is...
Give me a sec.
All right.
Okay. Dad, you know me. I wouldn't hurt a fly.
Intentionally. Stupidity.
It's a figure of speech. If there's a fly in my restaurant, I'm going to do my damnedest to swat it. But
a what?
You know what
a speech? A what speech? It's a what speech? A figure?
Pardon me?
A figure of speech? You mean?
Are you going to... Are you going to argue with me about grammatical issues where the heat is on, I'm telling you?
All right. You wouldn't hurt a fly's figure of speech. What is going on?
Well, I hired a young African American.
Yes.
Wonderful. Hardest worker I've ever had.
Okay.
His name's Eric. And he's the best employee I've ever had.
All right. Better than Big Tim?
This morning, well, Big Tim is bad. You know, he's retarded.
Yeah.
And Eric, this morning, started out normal. I put a bucket of a Cool Whip container full of chowder in the microwave in case somebody come in.
Ain't selling much
anymore. It's better than Tupperware.
Yeah, I know. It's Cool Whip. Yep, it is. It's better than Tupperware. That's what my grandma said.
Well, that sounds like a very smart lady.
Okay, well, what's going on? You're in your tornado hiding from the cops. What does this have to do with Eric?
Eric was up at the front wiping down tables, and he looked out the window, and he says, Tony, come quick. Bring the gun.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm thinking, are we getting held up?
Yeah, because you keep a gun at the restaurant, don't you?
Well, of course. I got one in the car, one at home.
What do you carry? What do you got, though? What kind of gun you got? Revolver? A Glock? What do you got?
Well, right now, I'd rather not say.
point well taken. Point well taken. Probably it's one of them 9mm things.
When my employee tells me to come running with the gun, I come running with the gun. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, ask questions later.
And he points out the window, and he says, look at that thing. And I just saw a flash. I could not tell. That chupacabra thing the Mexican fellas always talk about. I didn't know what it was. But I looked at it, and instinctively I said, this must be dangerous. And so I said, come on, jump in the tornado with me. We're going to hunt this down. Whatever it was on four legs. Okay.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any chupacabra or hunting down anything in Cape Coral.
Just before I get to Del Prado, I got this thing in my sight that it's like nothing to ever see. And I may be a senior citizen, but I still got a dead eye. And I got this son of a bitch.
You shot this four-legged thing that you've been hunting down in Cape Coral.
Well, I was running wild in the streets. It could have hurt somebody. But I don't know what it was. I do now.
What did you shoot dead, Tony?
Well, I told Eric, I said, get out and make sure that thing's dead. I'm pretty sure I got him. But no matter what it is, I don't want one of God's creatures to suffer. If I got to go up point blank to the head.
To finish him off.
Eric said, yeah, he did. We need to go. I said, what do you mean? He said, drive, old man, drive.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm heading back to the restaurant. I'm driving. He says, you might want to think about ditching that piece, too. And I said, what in the world's going on? He says, you be cool. Go back to the restaurant. I'll go back over there, find out what it is and what happened.
Right, right.
I'm thinking I've removed a public menace. Eric goes over there.
Mm-hmm.
And first they asked him what he's doing there, of course. And so he makes it back to the restaurant, and I thought, what are you, Jesse Owens? Made it back so quick. He says, who's that? Yeah, never mind.
Yep.
He says, Mr. Tony, you shot a dog.
You shot a dog?
I'm not admitting that. I didn't know it was a dog.
You're not admitting it. You threw your piece in a dumpster and you're hiding in your tornado. You're not admitting it.
No, I panicked. And then that's why I need you to come. Well, anyway, that's why I need you to come down here, because I shouldn't have thrown it in the dumpster. I got to find a better spot.
What
for
do you
it.
Want
I
me to go get it? I'm not going to go to the dumpster.
I can't get in there, and Eric had to go home, or I'd have to pay him overtime. But Eric told me that people had gathered around and that there was a lady crying wearing a clown suit, and that she dressed some dog up like a bumblebee, and it stopped for gas on her way to the children's hospital. His dog was dressed up like a bumblebee to cheer the kids
up. Gee, that's right, Tony! It's just a dog in a bumblebee suit to cheer up kids. And you went and shot it dead.
Well, if you pull out a gun, my father always said, you not only be prepared to use it, you got to make sure you put it down. Hard. Dan, I never see so many cops.
You hunted down this helpless dog. Do we have a picture of that? You hunted down.
It was in a bumblebee costume. I thought it was some sort of wild exotic animal that escaped. Was it an insect?
Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid and senile, old man?
Why would you say?
Oh, that's got to be the chupacabra. Oh, that could be some wild insect. Can't you tell the difference between a wild insect, a chupacabra, and a poor, helpless, defenseless dog in a bumblebee outfit with the woman trying to cheer up kids? You are stupid. You're stupid.
Dad, honest to God, I need your help or I'm going to go away for a long time.
Well, I wouldn't mind you going away.
I don't know what to do.
Look,
I'd just leave if I knew that the weapon was there. It was a stupid thing to do, and I can't fish it out by myself.
You want me to put on some kind of recording, leave the studio, head up to Cape Coral, to the dumpster where you threw your handgun after shooting a dog in a bumblebee outfit? You want me to go and retrieve that gun?
All I need you to do is to help me fish the gun out.
Have you ever thought, old man, that it was an accident? That certainly with your geriatric state, they'll understand your eyes aren't as good as they used to be. You thought you were shooting a chupacabra. It was an accident. How about being honest for once in your life and say, hey, it's me.
Because it doesn't pay. I couldn't even talk my way out of a ticket because the license plate light was out. Well, if the license plate light is out, why the hell do you make it out of reflective material?
Look, I don't have it. I'll be honest with you.
I don't know. If I can't explain the license plate light being out, how the hell am I going to explain the damn dog dying?
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it.
whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Funny, but unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney,
96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody! It's Friday, and just think about this: it's after 2 o'clock on a Friday. Your day's just about done, and we're here to take you home. You've gone through all of that morning crap already. You've gone through the lunch. You've gone through the meetings. Now it's wind down time.
Yeah, you can coast now.
Yeah, and Stan and Haney are with you. Glad to have you along.
It's like by the time we come on, you don't want to think about work or anything.
No,
so.
Especially today, with it being Friday.
And you have our solemn pledge. We will kill the rest of the time.
Yep, because that's our job. We're professional time killers. I've said it before. Haney and I both discussed it with people. You've got doctors saving lives, people working construction and street work. They're repairing roads, building buildings. You got nurses and health officials, firemen. They're saving people's lives. What do you do, Stan and Haney? Well, our job is to kill time for you. Help you along. What do you do for a living? We're professional time killers. You know, Haney and I talk about it every day. What are we going to do today? How are we going to kill time today?
It's a pretty good job.
It is a good job.
The only other job I think would have been better.
What?
When I was a teen, immediately before I got into radio.
Yeah.
Which, keep in mind, when I got into radio, it was something where, okay, maybe he'll do that one day a week. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize within a couple of days I was offered a full-time job. Yeah. But my uncle, former Marine, wanted to show me what his job was like.
What was his job?
He was a supervisor. And I thought, man, I want that job.
Yeah, love supervising.
Because his job, from my teenage perspective, was he drove around in a nice big air-conditioned pickup truck, luxury truck. From site to site. And I said, well, what are we doing? Are we going to work? Are we gonna build a house? What are we doing? I'm not afraid of work. He goes, no. That's not my job.
No, his job's to supervise.
My job is to supervise.
Yeah. Point out a few things. Ask him, what are you doing?
He goes, now, if you want to help me, I can teach you a little bit about being a supervisor.
Right.
Says, when we roll up on this next job site, I want you to hop out of the truck quick and very quickly, and use your voice, son. Use your voice. As loud as you can without screaming, because you got to sound like you're in control.
Yeah.
I want you to say, "The hell are you deadheads doing out here?"
Yeah. It's a great job. It's a great job.
And he said, "I've got," at the end of the day, he says, "I've got one question for you. What do you want to be? You want to be a deadhead or a supervisor?"
"I want to be a supervisor."
"Yep."
"You know what? There's where we have something in common. Because my old man, because he used to hang around with all of his drinking buddies, Pal Fascine, Ernie Niver, my Uncle Walt, Al Dole."
"Oh, yeah. I also found out that as a supervisor, that as you were going site to site, you had to stop at a convenience store and pick up refreshments
yes.
between the sites.
Beer."
"Yep."
"And that's what he would do. He had Pal Fascine knew how to work a backloader. Al Dole was good for menial labor. Ernie Niver could just work a chainsaw until he cut it into his leg, but he could work a chainsaw like nobody else. My old man..."
"Well, he could clean a deer with a chainsaw, couldn't he?"
"That's for another time." "But my old man, and I used to joke about it when I was old enough, because I remember from a little kid, but when I was 16, 17, I used to joke, well, what do you do? I'm supervising. I'm coordinating."
"Yep."
And he's got all his buddies out on the farm working, and he's walking around with his hand on his hips drinking a cold drink.
"Yep." "Look, Rocky, I'm gonna give you a book here. May take you a couple of reads to get it, but the name of the book is Tom Sawyer."
All right, we got to take a break. Haney, I want to tease this right now. You're going to hear it in about 35, 40 minutes. It was just released today. It debuted, I think, last night as a video. His family released it because there was some special on cable. I heard it this morning, and we got to play it for everybody. John Prine, he passed away in April from COVID.
God. Was it April?
Yes. And
time is warped.
His family just released the last song he ever recorded. He did it from his home when the lockdown first started. He was there with his producer. They put a microphone up to his mouth. They put another microphone to his guitar. And he performed his last song, and it gave me goosebumps. It was clean, his voice was strong, and you and I both love singer-songwriters. We love John Prine.
Well, I love the genius of John Prine.
This song that I'm going to play in about 35, 40 minutes... Maybe it's just because his death is so fresh. I love this song. I would put this at one of his top songs. He had so much more left to offer. And this final song, I sat there this morning as I was drinking my coffee, getting other stuff together, and I had to stop and listen to this. It was so good.
You know, the thing about John Prine, and it's something we've been accused of too. It's like if you think back to... when you first started listening to the Stan and Haney show, maybe a lot of things didn't make sense to you, and you're like, what the hell is this? But you hang around for a while, and more is revealed, and you kind of figure out what's going on, and you're in on the joke and all of this. That's the way it is with John Prine. His writing is brilliant, and his delivery... doesn't sound like much to the untrained ear.
Oh.
But once you understand what's going on and where he's coming from, you will see the genius.
Can't wait to play it for you. I'll do it in about 35, 40 minutes.
But it's not something that's going to stand up and slap you in the face. You have...
Oh, you have to listen.
Yes.
Oh, it's not a poppin' song. You have to listen to his words and the meaning of those words. He's a wordsmith.
Yes. I mean, it's a lot different than saying, hey, there's a new Bon Jovi song we're going to play in a half an hour.
And you know that's going to rock.
You already know what you're getting. With John Prine, you got an idea, but you're never quite sure.
If it doesn't leave you a little misty, there's something
but
wrong
they're,
with you.
But they're two different things.
Yep, two different, completely different things that cause a different reaction in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Listen to new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance right in your own home.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Friday edition. We're going to have the grab bag for you here in just a second.
You know, we continually see headlines that seem ridiculous, like they're from another dimension.
Did you see a good headline?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it joins other headlines like, Kellen Winslow Jr. is accused of raping old women in a trailer park.
Yes, I remember that.
This just in, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 28-year-old son is arrested in California for stabbing his neighbor multiple times.
What?
Charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Wow. Wow. Strange times.
On his booking slip, the tail of the tape, Adam Abdul-Jabbar listed 6'7", 180 pounds. His rights are owned by GameStop. I guess a standout employee for GameStop.
Okay.
He was arrested without incident, according to police. Evidently, you know, he got the stabby out of his system.
How
stabbing
old is he?
28, stabbing a neighbor multiple times, the victim hospitalized with multiple non-life-threatening injuries, thank God. Jeez. But they're not saying much more than that.
All right, well, I think that's all that needs to be said.
Well, he's no word on how GameStop's going to handle that with the 6'7 Abdul-Jabbar. You can imagine that's going to leave a hole in the lineup for them.
Yes!
Luckily, you know, it's a slow time in the GameStop world. No word on if he'll be back in a couple of days for the release of The Last of Us 2. Of course, that's a Sony exclusive, so it won't be as big as another AAA title. But nonetheless, GameStop's going to be a man down.
Let's do the grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41, North Naples. Make reservations for the Pewter Mug.
Boy, that's a 6'7" hole there, and you know, looking over the waiver wire, there's not a lot of appealing options right now.
See the guy in Fort Myers that's doing the petition that wants to change the county to Stan Lee County, the comic guy? He's got 70 signatures on his petition.
You know what?
Can still keep it Lee County.
We can totally keep the peace. We've already got the road. Just Stan and Haney.
Yep.
Stan and Haney County.
Wouldn't that be great? There's a road named after us. We've visited Fort Myers several times.
Yes. I mean, we're familiar with it.
Yep. Stan and Haney County.
We have been to Fort Myers several times on, you know, work-related business.
Yep. Oh, this is interesting. And I'm going to put you and Junior to the test if you'd stop taking personal calls. So if you just stop taking... Oh, hey, there's Matt Mangus. There's program director Matt Mangus.
I got the ball rolling for you earlier today on Stan in Haney County. I mentioned it at 10 o'clock, again, the 1 o'clock hour. The support is there. I think that's the way to go.
How many did we get? How much
did
we support?
We get more than 70 signatures on a petition.
Because the comic book guy got 70.
We could get more than 70 signatures in like that.
How many do you need?
Put it up on Facebook. Probably
you know what?
Several thousand.
We might even get enough signatures and even have it approved. But just like the road, the only thing going to stand in our way would be the Beasleys.
You know it,
how,
Matt.
How better to bring the peace than Stan and Haney? Stan and Haney County. Stands
this
for
is
something.
A very strange time, isn't it, Matt?
It's a very odd time. Very true.
Now, I know we see eye to eye on many things, but not everything.
No.
What is your take on what's happening in the world right now?
I already asked him this off the air.
I will.
He has the conviction, he'll say it on the air, and I have a feeling whatever he'd say would be safer than whatever we'd say.
Yes.
I will go to the great prophet Bob Dylan, who in 1963 said, "Come, mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. 'Cause the times, they are a-changing."
Okay.
Plain and simple.
My rebuttal would be from Randall Hank Williams.
Okay.
"Well, you're the only one that you are screwing when you put down what you don't understand." Now, I ain't saying that he was the first one or the last, but anybody that don't like Hank Williams, you can kiss our ass.
Okay. I'll go along with the kiss my ass part, sure.
Fair enough. Nice detente there.
I just think, you know, times are changing. It's the natural order of things. These things
I just don't
happen
understand.
In cycles.
I just don't understand what it has to do with this one guy where no justice, no peace, and the people involved have been arrested. The justice system is involved. So why can't we have peace?
Well, I think we have disgruntled citizens out there. And anytime you have disgruntled citizens, you need to open your ears and listen to them. That's all.
Oh, look at Junior nodding his head like, right on. Why don't you go pal around with them then?
I agree 100% with
Matt.
Pick
on the millennials either, because the millennials are kind of driving this whole thing. And these are the kids. These are the kids that have been going to school for the last 10 years under the threat of getting shot.
Matt, I think what you're trying to say is that you believe the children are our future. Teach
Absolutely.
Them well and let them lead the way.
No question.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Yep.
Give them a sense of pride.
That's how I brought up my daughter, and she is a responsible 25-year-old with a good job who graduated FSU in 3 years.
Well, you know what? You hit it good. You are one of the lucky
it's
ones.
It's all about parenting.
Nah, she's
Everybody
been
be
indoctrinated
out there
now.
And be a good parent.
You know, the only reason we can save Junior is that he quit FSU.
I dropped out.
Well done, Junior. I love you guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Thing is, over in Seattle on Capitol Hill,
it's no longer fun in Seattle.
Do they go to work?
What? No. No.
Let's see if we can get.
No, they watch civil rights documentaries in the middle of the street.
A new study was done.
I wonder what the true civil rights pioneers, if they looked at this, what they'd be thinking.
I don't know.
Because I know a lot of it does not jive with what Martin Luther King said.
No.
And we were told to listen to the man, and we did, and we believed him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what's happening.
I don't know.
Sorry, Stan.
That's all right. I just didn't know if any more was coming. A new study.
That's why I said, sorry, Stan, so you'd take that as a cue.
I did.
All right.
a new study found, and I'll put you, Junior, and Haney to the test. You cannot tell the difference between a cough caused by a virus or a cough that is non-illness related, like, say, somebody ate something spicy.
Well, that would be more of a sneeze.
Tickle in the throat. The study dug into a bunch of audio clips. They analyzed them, played them for people to see if they could tell the difference of somebody that's contagious or somebody that's just got a tickle in their throat.
Well, it's a mechanism. It's not.
There you go. Which one's the sick one? Which one's the sick one?
Now you turn it into a game and we got to get competitive.
Yes. Which one's here? Here's cough number one. Why is that with the thing in there? Is it playing that? Why?
That disc isn't in the machine.
It's not in the machine.
There's a ghost in the machine. There's
Let's
a deuce ex machina.
Let's try it again.
There's a MacGuffin in there.
This is weird. Here we go. Sick or healthy? I'll play it for you again if I can get the machine to do it. Sick or healthy? This is the same one. Now, cough number two, sick or healthy?
Cough number one, sick.
Junior?
I agree with Haney.
You're both absolutely right. Cough number one is sick.
What you're listening for is a wet, productive cough.
First one has a virus. Second one ate some spicy chili.
But the only difference, it's the exact same mechanism. The only way you can tell the difference is that you can hear that it's altered by fluid.
Most people couldn't.
Well, are you dealing with most people here?
Not with you, Haney. And Junior just copied you.
Well, he'd do well to do that.
Somebody asked people from around the world to share weird things that are taboo in their country. Here's what they had to say, and these are going to be in the order. In Turkey, you shouldn't cross your legs in front of elders. In Sweden, it's taboo to sit next to or speak to strangers. Saudi Arabia, it's taboo to talk about sex, drugs, and alcohol. Here you go.
In Turkey, it's a taboo if you cross your legs in front of a elder family member or elder people in general.
If you eat ants, you'll become forgetful.
One thing that is really taboo to do in Sweden is to sit next to someone, let's say a train. If you do that, you will be considered crazy. We don't like to speak to strangers.
Pineapple on a pizza, cheese on the fish. No.
We don't talk about sex, we don't talk about drugs, we don't talk about alcohol, we don't talk about these things.
Arabs.
Although we talk a lot about them in secret, though.
Well, and another fun fact, in Turkey, being a Christian can get you murdered.
Yes.
That's kind of a new thing, though.
I'll wrap up the grab bag with this.
I mean, after the Armenians, they kind of toned it down, but now they're turning the volume back up now. Because, see, it was a secular republic, and that's changing.
Get ready for Splash Mountain to change.
I thought it already did.
No. Oh, let me explain. One of the greatest films that Disney ever made was Song of the South. Walt Disney.
Masterpiece.
Walt Disney was so proud of that movie.
Should be.
And it's a masterpiece. But about 25 years ago, Disney pulled it. You can't buy it. Because it was deemed racist. Because of Uncle Remus. When Splash Mountain was opened at Disney World, they basically removed every character from Song of the South, which it is based on.
Didn't say it was your laughing place.
And
that was Br'er Rabbit.
Br'er Rabbit is the only one that's left. you go through the Disney ride, and I'll tell you, Splash Mountain's fun. It's fun. You'll hear this.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? Nice seeing you. How you come on? How do you do?
That's Brer
Pretty
Rabbit.
Good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. How do you do? Same way we meet.
Disney is considering just doing completely away with that and naming Splash Mountain something else. All of it gone.
It's a shame.
It is.
You're depriving the children.
How do you do? Hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? Good to see you. How you come on? Howdy. Pretty good show is your
howdy.
Stop jumping around. You'll run
yeah, stop
ahead.
Jumping around.
Why don't you sit back and calm yourself. You can carry on now if you must. Wonder what we like, cuz that suits us.
I got one more thing I can play for you.
Here you go. Turn it up.
I've had trouble before, but there ain't none of us ever had trouble like poor little Brer Rabbit. I remember one time he had more trouble than all three of us rolled into one. Yes, sir, there he was,
way down in Brer Fox's cave. And it looked like his time done run out for sure. Cause Brer Rabbit, he done used up his whole bag of tricks.
You done played your last trick on me, Brer Rabbit. Hey, you sure has, yes, sir. You done played your last trick on me. Here, pull that knot.
You sure look mighty good in that bow tie, Brer Rabbit. Yes, sir. You look mighty good in that bow tie.
Yeah, that's been
a great film.
If you take it for what it's worth, it's a spectacular film.
And yeah, the color was groundbreaking technically.
A live action and animation.
And I remember seeing that as a child, and the bright colors, but with real people.
Yep.
It was intoxicating.
Play one more thing here for you. This is pretty cool.
Let me tell you something. Uncle Remus is one of the greatest storytellers of all time.
One of the best. Creed Bratton from The Office.
Yeah. Now, he was also in...
He was in The Grassroots.
Right.
He was the guitar player in The Grassroots back in the 60s. He has put out a song. For real. It's called Chan Chu Toad. Here's Creed Bratton of the Grassroots.
Got the Big Dipper down her spine. Looking cool with her hair dyed black. She's mine, all mine. Oh, my little Chan Chu Toad.
Yeah, he has had number one records. He's got gold records on his wall.
Good for him.
Yep, I'm glad for him too. All right, we're gonna.
I liked him on The Office too.
Yes, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll have the local beat. But before we do the local beat, John Prine's last song he ever recorded was just released today. The video debuted last night. We'll play it for you. And if you're a John Prine fan, or if you just want to please listen to the words.
Well, John Prine is one of those funny figures, and we talked about it when he passed away. He's one of the few people where if you mention his name, probably half the people don't know what you're talking about. And probably half the people, oh my God, he is the best.
Yep. We'll try to convert people if they don't know who he is, because he is the best.
He could be walking down the street like Lucky LaRue. And that half of the street wouldn't know who he was, while the other side of the street is spontaneously applauding.
We'll have it for you when we come back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons.
96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. We're going to have the local beat for you. We're going to do a little, just a beautiful John Prine song in just a second. About 25 minutes from now, we'll play a game. We'll get you a chance to win.
I don't know. I want to hear the John Prine song, but I don't want to cry.
So I asked Junior to put this in, and we had played it before, years ago. And everybody will say, you know, America's going through a difficult time right now, which it is. But America's gone through difficult times in the past as well, and we've always managed to come through it. And you know this one as well as I do. This was back in the early 70s, 1973. And there was a Canadian broadcaster named Byron McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Who lived in Canada and looked at the way America was being treated. And we're living through something now, but we always get through it, as Byron McGregor will tell you.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the earth. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottomland of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up, and their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. I was there. I saw it. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it is the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pumped billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. Now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, warmongering Americans. I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on, let's hear it. Does any other country in the world have a plane to equal the Boeing Jumbo Jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10?
No.
If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you will find men on the moon, not once, but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals, and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They are here on our streets, most of them, unless they are breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said, the hell with the rest of the world? Let someone else buy the Israel bonds. Let someone else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. Yeah. When the railways of France, Germany, and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both are still broke. I can name you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble?
I can't.
I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone. And I'm one Canadian who's damned tired of hearing them kicked around.
Damn right.
They will come out of this thing with their flag high. And when they do, they are entitled to thumb their nose at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these, but there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans that it was broke. This year's disasters have taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
Good day, eh?
Yes, yes. We'll come back stronger than ever. I heard that. I was going through our archive stuff, and I found that, and I said, that's fantastic.
It's one brave Canadian.
That's right, who had the guts to step up and say it. This, you're going to love this. Headline, John Prine, his last song, last recorded song. When John Prine passed away on April 7th of this year due to complications from COVID-19, he didn't just leave behind a rich recorded legacy. He also left behind works in progress. Today, Prine's label released his last recorded song. He recorded it at his home. He co-wrote the song with his longtime collaborator, Pat McLaughlin, and it was produced by Nashville producer Dave Cobb, who took the tape and produced it from his home, where he would not leave. This is the final song John Prine ever did, and it is beautiful. It's called I Remember Everything. John Prine.
All right. I've been down this road before. I remember every tree, every single blade of grass holds a special place for me. And I remember every town and every hotel room and every song I ever sang on a guitar out of tin. I remember everything, things I can't forget, the way you turned and smiled on me on the night that we first met. And I remember every night, your ocean eyes are blue, how I miss you in the morning light like roses miss the dew. I've been down this road before, alone as I can be, careful not to let my past go sneaking up on me. Got no future in my happiness, though regrets are very few. Sometimes a little tenderness was the best that I could do. I remember everything, things I can't forget, swimming pools of butterflies that slip right through the net. And I remember every night, your ocean eyes of blue, how I miss you in the morning light like roses miss the dew. I miss you in the morning light like roses miss the dew.
Is that beautiful or what? Just him and his guitar. The last recording of John Prine. Guy is great. Available now. His record company has the song out. You can download it if you want. But Haney and I loved that guy.
What a gift.
A true gift. And still leaving us stuff. got time for
that. That took me somewhere else.
Oh, it does. And that's what his music did. That's what it did.
It took me somewhere I probably shouldn't be while I'm on the radio.
No, just visit it and then we come back because I got the local beat for you. Mm-hmm. And this happened today.
It was awfully harsh to snap me back with the local beat.
I know, I'm going to keep that song and it's going to be with me whenever I need to hear it. There was an incident in Collier County today. And, Junior, I know the video is around because at least a few people filmed it as it was happening. And this, I will say, is from multiple sources because they were all getting their information at different times from different people. So this is from NBC2. This is from the Naples Daily News. This is from Fox 4. This is from Wink. This is from the Fort Myers News Press. And I just threw in as much information as I possibly could. And there's video. Plane made emergency landing on I-75 on-ramp.
What?
Well, actually, it was I-75 by the on-ramp. A plane this morning, right around before 10 o'clock, down in Naples, landed on the highway. And
that's frowned upon, isn't it?
And if yes, but I'll get into details. If you look at the video footage, there was a lot of traffic too. And amazingly, everybody's okay.
Driving down 75. That plane's... Oh. No, it's... yes, it is. Oh, my.
I can't air the guy's video that they posted online because he's using swear words.
Well, I mean, think about it. You get mad if a car cuts you off, if all of a sudden a plane flies over and lands its ass in front of you. Hey!
The plane...
Junior is coming up no sail.
I can't believe he's coming up no sail. The video is on everything.
It's on everything?
Every news,
I'm going to look for
it. Every news station. Florida Highway Patrol has tweeted that no occupants were injured in the plane and no vehicles were involved. The plane was coming from Sanford and was making its final approach to Naples Municipal Airport when it began experiencing engine failure. This according to deputies.
Boy, this happens a lot. I did a search on it, and it's popping up all kinds of stuff of planes landing on Florida interstates.
The FAA is in the process of investigating the incident. According to the FAA spokesperson, a P-2004 light sport craft landed on Interstate 75 3 miles north of Naples Airport around 9:50 this morning. The pilot of the plane told air traffic controllers he had engine failure. According to the...
And this was Naples?
Yes. According to the Collier County Sheriff's Office, the plane landed near mile marker 107 by Pine Ridge Road. No cars were involved, although there were a lot on the road. And no one was injured. Two people were on board the plane when it landed. The plane was a single-engine plane, two-seat aircraft. The pilot landed it successfully. The plane did not sustain any damage in the incident. He just simply touched it down on I-75.
You say, is there video of it happening?
There's video of a guy in his car watching as the plane is going down the stretch of road.
Because I can see video after the fact, but...
No, there's video before the fact, I think. Junior, did you find it?
I think I just found it.
Okay. Somebody with his camera phone was filming it through his front windshield.
As he's driving along, comes the plane.
And there goes the plane landing, and the video stops just as he's getting ready to lose sight of it. There you go. if you can enlarge it, because the plane is just ahead. I can't play the sound. The guy is swearing.
Oh, my God.
But you can see the plane out in the distance and all the traffic on the road, and they're moving. All the lanes have been open. The on-ramp has been open now. Everything's okay. And nobody, thank God, on the ground or in the plane were injured, and no damage to the plane.
Yeah, nobody's in a hurry to slow down.
Nope. We're going to take a break. We'll give you a chance to win when we come back. We're Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. You're about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. We're going to give you a chance to win right now. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List. I've got 10 things on this list. And if you name something on the list, you're going to get yourself a prize. I'm chuckling. I don't know. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because I don't know if I can. Program director Matt Mangus came
in. Can you believe that?
Oh, so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, the world is... we've been at this for such a long time. We don't realize the depth of changes that have been... implemented, and that blows my mind.
Yeah, doesn't it though? Any
had... do you want to?
All right, here's the way the thing works is in the radio business, and as sad as I like to say this, the days of people calling in and requesting an obscure song are long gone, and you have a playlist that is music on your radio station. And when new music comes out, you have a representative that keeps track of the amount of plays that a record gets, how popular it is with your radio station, all of that
stuff.
And
it used to be that you would report once a week.
Yeah.
And you'd mail it in.
Yep, here, we put this. Now they know instant.
And then as time marched on, you'd fax it in. Now you don't have to do anything.
So the program director gets a call. So you added the new John Prine. Well, no. We see you played John Prine.
John Prine's record company called to thank us.
Yes. No thanks needed.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew the second we played it.
The second we played it.
You know, sometimes we forget, Stan.
I know.
That there are people listening.
Yep. Yeah. Look, I'll be honest with you. I have to keep in my head that it's just the three of us in this room.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just, you know, kibitzing.
Yep.
Carrying on a little conversation. Making ourselves laugh. And yeah, I guess there's other people listening. I can't think about that. I can't do that. And
you can wrap your head around the fact that, okay, well, people in general area can hear us.
Yeah, but around the world.
Anybody could be listening.
Because we're going to play a game right now, and I don't think, there are a bunch of people listening. I can't think that way. Now, when I go and answer some phones, we're talking to friends. Hey, how are you? How you been? You want to
win a prize? I mean, ultimately, that's the truth.
Yeah. Here's Matt Mangus.
That is cool.
I requested John Prine's management company to send you guys a little something. You know?
That would be so nice.
And maybe a T-shirt or something.
I'd love that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not why we played the song, well, but that's nice.
But that is nice.
But Big Brother's watching all
the
time.
They knew right off the bat.
Yeah, well, they get a notice. You know, it's monitored. And,
yeah.
And
then
they got right back to me and said, thank you.
Does
so thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you, Matt.
So anytime we play anything, does that mean somebody's notified?
Yeah, it's really weird because, you know, I'll get the report of what we played during the week, and it'll have all of our new music. It'll all be Leviathan.
And then you'll have to deal with me.
And then you'll see, you know, Chewy Chewy, you know, or something you guys did on the Wayback Machine or something along with our regular rock music.
That even pops up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You should see our list. It's the most bizarre list of any rock station
in America. It can recognize half the stuff I play.
Monitor everything. I mean, even the Stan and Haney theme.
Oh, that's good.
Gets monitored. That's so that comes up, you know, six, five times a week.
Also, has any record guy going, hey. Yeah.
Hey, that's Stan and Haney.
Who is Mark Haney and the Buzzards? Man, these guys.
The slide guitar on that is amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, everything we do is being watched and monitored and listened to.
What did you tell the guy from his record label? You said, well, that's, you know, we'll play that. And
I said, yeah, you might hear the 1910 Fruit Gum Company and then some screaming metal and then Whip
and Post. Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, followed by Helmet.
There are no rules, really. I mean,
there's
a general framework, and then we throw it in the garbage can and start all over everything.
So is there any advantage to me musically that a song that I wrote and performed is been played every day for over 75 years?
You've got thousands and thousands of plays on that thing. Absolutely. I think it's got a lot of merit, for sure.
We're the only station playing it, but it's got thousands of plays.
I can legitimately say that.
Well, I've gotten in trouble before saying, you know, we're the only station playing that. That's gotten me in hot water before. But in this case, it's, well, you know how it is. You got to follow the leader.
I am the leader.
No, yes, you are.
I'm talking about he'll play a song that might be, you know, something that our listeners would like. But he might be the only station in the country playing it.
And you guys do that from time to time. Something will come up in the grab bag that you'll play, and the record company will contact me and say, oh, you're playing the new Gray Days song or something like that.
And remember, and this was when you still had to do it by hand, remember when we got the first Johnny Cash album? And the program director at the time said, we got notified by American Records.
A little cease and desist,
that,
huh?
No, that's for some reason... sales of records, CDs.
Oh, yeah, in this area.
We see that all the time. The sales on the Corey Marks, the downloads on the Corey Marks song went way up after you guys had him on the air.
Really?
Yep, absolutely. Stan and Haney difference. Yeah, Stan and Haney difference.
Yeah, that's right.
See you later.
Thanks. See you, Matt.
You got it.
This is not the radio world I joined in 1982. It's not. This is wild.
Puzzling.
It is puzzling. Different world. You know what? I'm going to dig up.
You know, Irma really stirred a lot
it's
of
a different
stuff
world
up.
Because
you told me it was
different
a different world.
World
after Irma. I don't know how that correlates to this, but I guess it does.
Now that I know that, I want Haney, let's just, we'll do it maybe one a week. I'd like to go and see NRBQs riding in my car and get notice again.
No, because that won't work because it's an oldie.
No, even when we do the Wayback Machine, it pops up that we're playing it.
It pops up, but nobody cares. John Prine's record company cares because that's new.
Of course. Now, if we played an old John Prine, it probably...
They wouldn't. They'd go, yeah, so what?
We'd have to report it, but...
It would be reported. But they wouldn't care. They care because this is new.
All right. Well, Junior, do you understand any of this?
Okay.
That's great. Let's.
You remember when? Because people think this, that because you're on the radio station, you should be able to get any music that you want.
Oh.
And it's the same way with consumers. Most of the time. If you're going to spend money on music, it's because it's something you already know. And like when I first got here and there were things that weren't in our library and I really want this for the show, and your average person would think, well, then you just call the record company and they send it to you. They don't want to send you back catalog.
They don't.
They won't.
They will send you because I got proof.
They'll send you back catalog if that will get you... to look at something new.
We would go and say a band has a new record out, and you're doing a little promotion with it, and like T-shirts and all that stuff for the release of a new record. If you're promoting that new record, then they'll send you the back catalog.
Maybe.
I've seen it. I've seen it. And they will do that. They don't like to, but they will.
Well, we stopped bothering with it.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We got 5 minutes. Let's see if we can do this.
But you know what?
Well, are you done, or do you not want me to do it? Go ahead. I mean, I just didn't know when you're done. I give a long pause, and then I start. But
no,
I
was exciting about the John Prine thing.
I think it's great.
But, you know, all I was going to say to put a bow on the end of it is, in the past, before all of the digital, you know, right-away delivery, a song like that that you and I love and would play would never end up in front of us.
Okay, hold on. Okay, all right. This is what has been reported. Okay.
What have we done?
Bush. This is from
K-Rock. This is Monday's show.
K-Rock.
Bush. So you have to explain a lot, don't you?
I do. People ask me all the time, why are you playing, Bo Donaldson and the A-Wolves?
Bush. Peaches and Herb. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. 38 Special. Elton John.
Empty Garden.
Yep, Empty Garden. John Mellencamp, Hurt So Good. And Daz Band.
Let it rip. That is the Stan and Haney difference.
Who is this Matt Mangus? What is he doing with this radio station?
He's a mad scientist.
A maniacal genius.
You help.
That's great. I think that's great.
Oh, God. No, but at the same time, I don't want to know the headaches we cause others.
Oh, yeah. You know, we do cause headaches. And he has to. This thing is, and that's what I.
Because when he wants to go hang out with the cool rock people, and they go, "What are you doing, Matt? This doesn't make any sense."
Elton John's Empty Garden. The Daz
you played
band.
The Daz Band on an active rock station. Oh my God! What are you, an amateur? Oh God! We don't mean to. It just happens. It's happened continually.
But see, we didn't have to worry about it before.
I'm not worrying about it now. I can't.
Well, I'm saying the company and him having to explain himself. Oh, us personally, we're going to do what we're going to do.
Oh, well, the answer should be, well, we're just that much better than you.
Yeah.
Why do you do that? Because we can.
Yeah. Seriously. Find NRBQ right now. I just want it to show up. I just want it to show up. Where Matt has to explain, you're playing NRBQ riding in my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's for Stan's mental health.
Yeah. And it's okay. Because that's going to be on the list now. That's not it. Hold on. That's
Ladies
not.
And gentlemen,
oh yeah. Okay. This is the live version. Oh, that makes it even more complicated.
Remember last summer when we had the chance to find each other, start making romance, but it didn't come. You found another without one hand of the clock. What good is the other? And I can't find no truth. Oh, baby, it's so hard. And I still think about you every time I ride.
Let me see that list.
Hey, Matt got it.
Well, I went to the place where everybody hangs out to see what everybody wasn't talking about. Went over in the corner all alone with you.
Are you texting in the middle of the show, Stan?
Yes. I gotta find out. This version. It's not bad.
And during the day since I've talked to you, I don't know how I made it, but I sure
What album is it from, do you know?
It came out in 1980. Now, let's confuse them more. Pause that. Play the same song. Play the same song by She and Him. Look up the band She and Him, Riding in My Car. See, he told us about something going on, and now we're playing with it.
Well, yeah, we've abused it.
Yeah, She and Him, Riding in My Car. Watch this label call.
Remember last summer when we had the chance to find each other, start making romance? Didn't come off because you found another with that one end of the clock. What good is the other? I can't find no true lover, baby, it's so hard. And I still think about you every time I.
See, when you get a millennial like Junior toe tapping to it, you know it's got a hook.
Oh yeah, it's all new to him. Who is She and Him?
It's for the kids Junior's age. Absolute Law text line. She and Him are awesome. My wife makes me listen to this band every once in a while. There they are.
Is that Kristen Wiig?
I don't know. That turns up. What do you know, Junior?
Her name's Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, yeah, that's...
She's an actress, I think.
Yes, she is. That's that Zoe.
Huh.
The kids love it. They just don't realize that they're doing a song from 40 years ago. It's new.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Is that that cool new band?
Him and Her. What is She and Him?
His and Hers.
And Ours.
Four Jackson and Jill.
We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I wish I knew how to read this because it's very impressive. We were looking at the Stan and Haney theme song by Mark Haney and the Buzzards. And Matt brought up the numbers on Mark Haney and the Buzzards. And it's pretty impressive.
Well, what does this mean?
Historical information spins. 2,700 and... 13, I think. Is that right? Am I reading
that? That's correct, yeah.
So, Spins. Now, this is since the database was established. This was...
Oh, yeah, we were playing a lot before
that. We were playing
it
before. 2,713 spins. Impact?
Impressions.
Impressions.
Yep. Well, now, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
From what I gather from Matt Mangus, it's like internet, podcast, you have something on YouTube.
All right. Spins on the radio station, 2,713. Impressions made, 7.5 million?
That is correct.
Peak spins, 7. I'm going to play it a couple of times or something. I guess peak chart, 1,237. I don't know what that means. Want to translate this for me?
Matt can tell us.
You know this. Hold on.
All the people that have downloaded the Stan and Haney podcast, people that have listened to it on the internet.
Right.
All you add all that up, and you have made 7.51 million impressions, which is very impressive.
So 7.5 million impressions on your song.
So that means a lot of ears have heard it.
So maybe that's the Grammy, Stan.
It should be. How do we get that?
The Grammy is lasting 30 years at the same radio station. I mean, come on. Nobody does that.
Matt, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Stan has prophesied that I will win a Grammy.
I didn't know that.
I didn't say necessarily as a performer. It could be a writer. It could be in some way, shape, or form before he leaves this earth. Well,
you are award worthy. There's no doubt about it. But you've worked in obscurity in Fort Myers, Florida your whole life when you really should have been in Hollywood. We've had this discussion before.
Yeah, why?
Why have you labored in obscurity? I don't know. I don't know. I think you have got the tools to work anywhere in the world. To be honest, you've got that gift.
Work in Hollywood.
Sure, you should be. You should be doing like the voice of on Scooby Doo movies and things like that.
Nobody's working in Hollywood right now, though.
Yeah,
why am I not?
You probably don't have an agent or anything like that.
No.
That would be helpful.
That never helped.
No, they cost money.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Godiva chocolates every
Christmas. Believe me, you have got all the tools to be making millions.
But why am I not? What?
Initiative?
Yet you don't leave
initiative?
Your home. That might have something.
No, I'm going to tell you right now.
You'd have to go out and promote. You'd have to be doing the
that
runways.
Is totally not true.
Yeah, it is. Well, see you tonight. We're giving you possible reasons. You don't want to hear it.
The great Chris Corley never left his home and made bank.
In the beginning, he was everywhere.
You have to do the networking.
I don't like people.
See, well, there you go. There's your answer.
What does that have to do with Scooby-Doo? 7.5 million.
Impressions.
Amazing.
Now, are they good impressions or bad impressions?
He left.
I know.
But think about that, Stan.
I don't disagree. They played a lot.
If my song alone is 7.51 million impressions... And that's a couple of minutes out of our show.
Yeah.
How many impressions are you and I making when we're talking nonsense?
We're still in Fort Myers.
But think about it.
I'm glad we're in Fort Myers.
Stan, that's the theme song alone.
I know it. Does anybody ever say, good job, Stan and Haney? No.
Yes, they did.
Oh.
When we were about 10 years in,
yeah, we got an award.
They made a plaque.
Yeah, they did. They did. There's a plaque from Plaques R Us.
Now,
said congratulations on 10 years. I told them I'd already been there 12.
Well, see, you had a legit 10 years, and I had like 9 3/4 years at that time.
Yeah.
Because you got here before I did by, what, like a year?
Year and a half.
Yeah. So yours said, congratulations on a decade of service. Mine said, congratulations on nearly a decade.
See, but and they gave us the awards. I was already, you were past 10 years. I was already into my 12th year.
But they made an error in my paperwork, which shows me being hired 2 years later than I was.
That's true,
because
too.
I had to be funneled through different, you know.
Yeah.
Font companies.
Let's see. I got some news here. Before we do the headlines, and Dateline Fort Myers Beach, this just handed to me. A heavily intoxicated man was arrested yesterday for this is funny. For some, sad for others. Heavily intoxicated man was arrested on Thursday for misusing 911 at the Lani Kai.
Oh boy! Is that a crime,
Edward?
When you're at the Lani Kai, I don't think it's a crime.
Gets worse.
It is a crime from anywhere else, but from the Lani Kai, I don't think you can be prosecuted for that.
Edward Duty.
Oh God.
Dwody. Edward Duty III, age 37.
Wonder if he's got a duty face.
Told deputies a woman snatched $200 cash from his hand. After deputies investigated
the
incident,
did she earn it, or?
And reviewed the video surveillance, it was found Duty had thrown the money down on the bar in the direction of the woman. According to the Lee County Sheriff's Office, Duty was very intoxicated, and he said he was going to call a different deputy to have the woman arrested.
A different
deputy.
Okay.
The deputy told Duty there was no emergency, and if he misuses 911 to request a different deputy, he would be placed under arrest. The Lani Kai staff told the Lee County Sheriff's Department they wanted Duty off the property. As he was being escorted out, Duty called 911 again, ignoring deputies.
For a different deputy.
Yep, and tried to request someone else come to the scene. Deputies said Duty was ordered to place his hands behind his back, telling him that he was under arrest for misuse of 911, but Duty continued to ignore the deputy. Duty was eventually arrested after struggling with deputies. He's facing charges of misusing 911 and resisting an officer without violence. There's a picture of Duty, Haney.
And if Howdy were here,
he'd say,
oh,
see you on television. Somebody is asleep at the wheel. No traffic update. There hasn't been a traffic update
in
nearly 2.5-3 hours.
No, it's been days.
Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. He is the news, Mark Haney. What can you expect? Well, here's Haney with today's headlines.
I don't understand why I'm not on Scooby-Doo. Why did he have to say that?
Because you don't network and you don't leave your house.
Nobody leaves their house when they do that work. It's all Comrex.
They do it in their house to get the work done, but they have to network with other people, go to other different places and stuff where they have the conventions and all of that.
Stan, you know damn well that I am very good at certain things.
Yes!
I have never been good at ass-kissery.
That's how people make it. That's why you say, why aren't we anywhere else? We've never been good. We, and I'll say this, and you will agree, we have never been good at self-promotion.
And I've seen how it's done. And all it is wearing people down.
Yes, I don't have it in me to do that. Nor especially you. And that's why.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we'll have some things for you if you didn't know. Everything's been canceled.
What?
Anything you like, it's been canceled. Nah, we'll tell you what's being canceled and what's not being canceled and whatnot. You know, there's a little something that we have learned repeatedly over the course of a lifetime when it comes to women.
They're all crazy and capable of anything.
We will tell you, and this is something men aren't supposed to know, the women have all gotten together and they're making fools of you. We'll give you a look behind the curtain so you don't fall victim to this female plot.
How naive people are. Absolute Law text line. What are you guys talking about? They named a road after the two of you, you two ungrateful bastards. What more do you want? Beasley rejected it.
Yeah. Very quickly, there was a vote of, six property owners.
Property owners and business owners.
Adjacent to the road that would become Stan and Haney Boulevard. It was nearly a unanimous vote when they were asked, do you want it to be called Stan and Haney Boulevard? All the property owners and businesses said, yes, absolutely, except for the Beasleys. They
were the only ones that voted no.
And they didn't understand that this wasn't a veto situation, or they wouldn't have let it gotten that far.
Yep. It was a majority ruled. They had to have a majority of property owners and business owners. And one dissent.
Yep. And they thought, oh, well, we're going to veto this. And they go, that's not how this works. It's majority rule. And then they tried to appeal and said, well, we thought we could veto it. This has gone too far. They said, it's too late. It's done. And finally, a man breaks into grandma's house to steal about a dollar's worth of hot dogs. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter.
Ungrateful.
Yeah.
My immediate supervisor just came in here and basically said, you're stupid. You should be a millionaire.
I don't know that he put it that way. I think he inferred it, but I don't think he put it as directly as that. And then you came up with every excuse why you shouldn't be a millionaire. I don't like to go out. I don't like to network. I don't like to talk to a lot of other people. And then you start talking about Scooby-Doo.
No, he brought up Scooby-Doo.
Sure he did. That one's the one that's hooking with you. It doesn't matter about all Hollywood. Scooby-Doo.
Right, Raggy. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you don't want to hear from your parents.
Top things you don't want to hear from your parents.
Let's talk politics.
Why aren't you on the trigger with anything? Jeez.
What, has he been disarmed?
Ooh, you suck.
Hey!
Hey! We get enough of that.
Sorry.
You know, this ain't the time to play games. This is showtime, buddy.
Hey, kids, don't wait up. We'll be back late. We're going out for dinner and an orgy. Mama. Be a dear and fetch your father and I the lube.
Hi, I'm Carol. I gotta get home before I miss my stories.
I don't know why, but I feel so liberated when I'm wearing your mother's underwear. I'm sorry, your mother and I thought you already knew that we're cousins. We tried selling you when you were three, but unfortunately we didn't get any takers.
Oh my God! Oh!
Those pills your mom got me are working like a charm. Welcome back, Morningwood.
Look at this, y'all.
And finally, the very...
He seems out of sync. He's just... It's just... You're not in the pocket.
And finally... boy, it's a good thing I'm a playmaker. Scrambling for my life
my
back here.
Goodness.
Tarkenton style.
Yep.
And finally, the very top thing you don't want to hear from your parents.
Yes.
Good talk, son. Well, I'd better get back to work. This cocaine isn't going to sell itself.
Ooh, so scared, Chubby Wubby. I reported you to Jenny Craig.
What does that have to do with anything?
I think he's being passive-aggressive towards you.
Towards me?
Yeah.
Watch me. I'll be just plain aggressive.
Man, that's a...
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Freddy, email time. Ahoy.
You kind of let me down there.
At stanandhaney.com.
When you said you're going to be just plain aggressive, I thought a zingaroo was coming.
Oh, trust me. He's playing with fire right now.
Sorry.
He's still in the probationary period.
What do you, I thought he already did that. He did 90 days the first time around.
Yep.
Does he have to do it again?
Maybe. We asked our question of the week, what's something that you had from childhood that you still own or possess today? A couple of good ones here. This person would not leave his name. I see it in the heading, and maybe it's best not. He's a doctor. Ahoy, guys. As a white boy from Indiana, I somehow thought I was going to be a ventriloquist. I still have my Lester doll that sits in my living room to this very day. I've attached a picture. Willie Tyler and Lester.
They were beloved.
They were beloved. We had them on, Willie Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And his and he had Lester, his ventriloquist dummy. And he sent the picture. It's great. It's a great ventriloquist dummy. This is from
That's insensitive.
Yeah, well, it's a ventriloquist dummy. That's what they're called,
that's
a
not,
dummy.
That, no, that's insensitive.
This is from Robert. Ahoy, guys. On the subject of what I've kept from my childhood, he sent a picture, too, and this is pretty cool. This is a revolver that my great-grandfather, James Henry Lectus Buttry, carved over 100 years ago. I was lucky enough to know my great-grandfather until he passed when I was 12 years old. My grandma always kept the revolver in a drawer in her living room. I always admired it. And when I bought my own home, she gave it to me because she knew that I loved family history. Signed, Robert. He showed a picture. It is a carved, by hand, complete revolver made out of wood.
Nice.
And it, down to every detail. And it's over 100 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Let's see what The Guardian has. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, here is what I have from my childhood. I have a complete, full-size Lionel train set that my dad bought for me in 1953, 1 year before I was born. Stop lying, Guardian. I have all the track and all the equipment to make it run. I also have six or seven cars plus the engine. It has followed me everywhere I have lived. I am not sure if it still works, but it's a great memory of a simpler time. Stay safe. Have a good weekend. God bless America. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian. I'll tell you right now, that Lionel
He's
train set.
Done it again!
That Lionel train set. Come over there. I'll go right through the glass at you. You can get ready. You're going to be picking charts out of your head. Sorry. That train set's probably worth a lot of bucks. Those old Lionel.
Stan.
What?
If you're really going to do that, we need to restock the Neosporin.
Yep, I agree. Restock the whole medicine cabinet.
Well, we went through a lot of it. We probably need gauze, too.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney. 96 K Rock.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic, and then I'm going to tell you about a great Father's Day promotion K-Rock is doing. And dads, you remember when you were in your bedroom shredding? Well, it could get you a nice prize for Father's Day. Let's get you updated on traffic first. All right, we want to thank our road watchers. Got several comments about something going on in Fort Myers. A lot of traffic at the intersection of State Road 82 and Ortiz. Looks, and I'm not joking, looks like a truckload of poultry all over the road, down to one lane. So be careful going in that area. Multiple people. Looks like a truck overturned. It's a lot of slow and go traffic right there. And you're up to date. Now, here's the deal. 96K Rock is looking for guitar playing dads. That's right. Where you have a chance to win an electric guitar signed by the Bad Wolves. Most of the great guitar players in rock spent countless hours practicing in their bedrooms when they were kids. We call it Shred From Your Bed. Send us a video, dads, of you playing in your bedroom. We'll post the video, then give the K-Rock audience a chance to vote for their favorite shredder. The shredder who gets the most votes gets an autographed guitar by the Bad Wolves, courtesy of Better Noise Music. You can post your video and get more information at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app. Do it, man. Show your stuff. Ahoy.
What? Hey, guys.
Hey, is this Billy?
Yeah.
Hey, how Billy. How are you doing, buddy? I haven't heard from you in a long time. I hope everything's okay. What's the matter, Billy?
COVID sucks.
Yeah. What, are you not still allowed to go outside or do anything? I mean, you can in Florida here go out a little bit and do some stuff. It's not like you have to be locked up in your house the whole time.
Yeah, not according to my mom.
What, is she making you stay indoors?
Yeah, and I have to wear a mask at all times.
Well, not it shouldn't be at all. In your house, you don't. It's like when you go to the grocery store or when you go to a department store or you do some activity around other people. That's when you wear the mask. You don't have to wear it in your house, Billy.
I do, or I'll be punished.
Why, have you gotten punished already for not wearing your mask?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She yelled at me in front of a bunch of people.
What, a bunch of her friends?
Yeah. Been nothing but happy hour at my place for the past couple of months.
Oh, I bet you these housewives and ladies, they have their little brunches and cocktail hour and all of that stuff. A lot of drinking going on.
Yeah, and I was just going to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
I didn't even think they'd notice me.
Uh-huh.
But my mom slammed her drink down and said, "What are you doing out here, especially without your mask? You could get all of these people sick, you little bastard."
She didn't talk to you like that. I mean, and after all, Billy, if you steal your mom's smokes, you got to take the mask off to smoke.
Yeah, but none of them were wearing masks.
And that's not good either.
And then when I was dumb enough to point that out, she had said the whole point is to keep me from getting them sick.
Oh. You haven't been sick yourself, have you?
No.
Okay, I don't think you
have. Well, I mean, I puked, but I wasn't sick.
Where would you puke from?
I don't know what the name of this stuff was, yeah. But I think it's lady wine.
you're drinking some of your mom's wine. It's probably a like a Chablis or a
I think it's called a blush.
A blush, sure. And what did you do? Chug it?
Yeah. Well, you have to, or you can't catch a buzz. Yeah. There's very little alcohol in
it. It's mainly for socializing and stuff like that, so the ladies can have something in their hand.
My mom is such a slut.
Okay. I understand. You shouldn't talk to your mom that way, although I don't necessarily like the way she's treating you. Can't you go?
I wish I could be with my dad, but he's with his girlfriend in South America.
They're in South America? Well, down there, that the disease, the COVID's really spreading down there.
Not for him.
No?
No, as soon as the COVID happened, he said, F this noise, and he's got, like, a compound down there.
Yeah.
And nobody comes in or out without his permission.
And he won't let you down there.
No, he said, I'm sorry, little buddy, but it's too dangerous for you.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything I can help you with today, Billy? I mean, anything you want or need or, you know, I don't know what we can do for you, but I'm concerned about you.
Well, I heard that Junior's back.
He is back. This is his first week back.
Is it true that he's like a big music producer?
He likes to say he is. He writes music on the computer. He just can't play it.
Cool.
Yeah. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, if he's not busy
sure,
or something.
Let me see. I think he's doing nothing.
Hey, Billy. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, bro.
How's it going, man?
Yeah. How's it hanging, bud?
Oh, it's hanging okay. How you doing with the whole COVID thing?
Are you a music producer?
I am.
What would you suggest for somebody that wants to get into music? Should somebody do like rock, country, or hip-hop?
Oh, that's a good question, Billy. Junior, this is coming from an 11-year-old. His name's Billy, and he wants to know what kind of music he should do.
Well, Billy, what kind of music do you like?
I kind of like a little of everything. It doesn't bother me.
What's your favorite, though, Billy? If you had, like, in your room and when you have to put the headphones on or the earbuds to get away from Mom, what do you crank?
Probably AC/DC. And I also like Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay. Well, help him out, Junior.
So you want to do something with bands, then? Like,
yeah,
more rock music.
At the same time, I can kind of spit hot fire with my rhymes.
So you want to do a little bit of everything, then?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do, too.
And when I write, it could really go either way. Like, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I wrote a song about my mom. I wrote two songs.
Oh, wow. And you just want to see if maybe Junior can get you in the studio and record them, huh? Maybe have an MP3 of that, a wave.
Yeah, that would be awesome because I really do have some dope rhymes.
Yeah. So that you have two songs about your mom.
Yeah. Because I think one of them would be like hip hop or trap, and the other one could be country or rock.
Well, trap's really popular down here.
What's trap?
Trap is like a hardcore version of rap.
Right on. That's
a lot
right
of drugs and stuff.
Is that something you're interested in, Billy?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Do we know how this goes a little bit? Is there cussing in it and stuff like that?
I'm just like light cussing.
Light cussing. No heavy duty stuff. You know, and they a lot of times when they go to a Junior's studio, they're packing heat.
Oh, should I?
They got a little side. You got a gun?
I wouldn't recommend it. Not if you're coming to my studio, buddy.
How's that gun? Rat, right there.
Oh, yeah, because I need to make the producer think I'm hardcore.
You're darn right you do. You gotta leave the producer a little scared.
Well, the producer should be a little comfortable, too, buddy.
Should I, like, walk around in circles like I'm on something and keep saying, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've seen a lot of that, and that doesn't really make me comfortable.
Okay.
What about bringing in, you got a posse you can bring in with you, too? They're basically doing nothing but, like, being bodyguards while you're in there recording?
Yeah, there's this one girl, and she's, like, 6'3", I could bring.
Yeah, just to hang out and drink open bottles of booze.
Okay.
You can do that? What day can he come over, Junior?
I gotta check my schedule.
Should I wear sunglasses at night?
You can if you want. Billy, do you have a budget, by the way?
A what?
A budget?
He's going to tell you now he expects to be paid. You know, the fact of the matter is, Billy, I think he should give you one freebie in the studio. He's done it for others.
Well, Billy, I am a professional, so I do need to be paid.
Look, bro. My rhymes are going to go straight to the top. And I might even be able to get you on World Star Hip Hop. And you know what?
Right on.
When I take that ride, you're coming with me, brother.
Well, that sounds good, man. But do you have any bars that you can spit for us really quick? Like a little demo? Because I don't know what you sound like, Billy.
Okay.
Yeah, give us a little something, Billy.
Sorry.
That's okay. I know, a little nervous because you're demoing some of your stuff to a real professional producer.
Take your time. No pressure.
All right. I don't even have a beat, but I'll try.
A cappella, bro.
I hate my mom. I hate my mom. She don't even see me. F you, Bausian Lam.
That was hard, bro.
F you, Bausian Lam. The eyeglass maker?
Yeah, because I thought it would fit.
Yeah. I hate my mom. What?
I hate my mom.
Hate.
I hate my mom. She don't even see me. F you, Bausian Lam.
You can work with that, can't you? You can work a little with a little magic.
I mean,
with that.
If we put a beat behind it, I mean, I'm sure we can make it work. But Billy, you're gonna have to do some ad lib sounds too, like in the background, you know, little ad lib sounds. You know, like you know how I always do my. You know, you gotta throw some of that, or like yeah, you gotta throw some of that in the background. Do you have any of those?
Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Turn it up in my headphones, bitch. Yeah.
Say a couple whats.
This is how we do what.
I'm very proud of you, Billy. You're really making strides, and I think Junior should have you in his studio and with your posse and some gin and juice and really go to town on this thing.
Bring some of your mom's wine.
Mama, I ain't cutting no grass. You keep effing with me, I'm going to kick your ass.
Way to go, Billy. That kid's got something. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
The Stan and Haney Show.
I love to sing about the moon and the June and the Springer. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T42. Anything with a swing or two. And I love you. I love what you sing.
Come children. It's him at the radio station.
I need no major boat's going to get me. Got through Yale with boola boola la-dee-do. Oh, microphone's got me. I love to sing. I love to wake up with the south in my mouth and wave the flag with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another for my mammy. I love to sing. I love to sing. I like to sing and never stop to my papa and wave the flag with a cheer for Jackie Bunny and another for my mommy.
We love to sing.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. It's just the...
We don't know the implications.
No. Because we were talking about how...
Everything we do is monitored.
Yep. And John Prine's record company... called their program director today.
Like the minute we were done playing the song, it's like, hey, you played the John Prine song.
Thanks for the play. And so Haney comes in and he said, do you remember when we were playing the Ella Fitzgerald song, Heat Wave?
Is that the name of the song,
yeah,
Heat Wave?
Yeah, we're having a heat wave.
I can't find it. A tropical heat wave. Because I thought you wrote it.
I know. I said, and I tried telling you, that's a real song, Haney. It was a big song. And, in fact, it's for real. It was a big, and we're wondering.
I can't find it again.
If we played that, that would go back to some monitoring system, and maybe that song can make a big comeback. Heat wave, a tropical heat wave. What
is it? I can't believe I lost it.
Yeah, you had it, didn't you? Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Of course, we got a producer. You find it?
I got it queued up.
Oh, you do?
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. All right, hold on. Let me get your
we're having a heat wave. Go. A tropical heat wave.
There it is.
Yes. Now, what's it called, Junior? Is it Heat Wave? That's it?
It's Heat Wave, yep.
By Ella Fitzgerald.
We're having a heat wave. By Ella.
A tropical heat wave.
The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can.
Yeah!
Started the heat wave.
I can't believe you never heard that song before.
By letting her seat wave.
Nope, I thought you wrote it.
And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can.
Yeah.
Jump to 93.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're having a heat wave.
What kind of heat wave?
A tropical
heat wave. I'm going to tell some people probably don't remember this because we did this probably about... What year did Ella Fitzgerald die?
83?
No, she died in the 90s. And I'll bet you, I'm sure you remember this. Find out the year that she died.
1996.
Thank you. In 1997, our first year in the afternoon, the estate of Ella Fitzgerald was auctioning off all of her items. This is a true story.
June 15th, 1996.
In 97, auctioning off all of her items, we had the auction house... come on, and because we didn't understand, are you talking about you're auctioning off her personal items, the estate? And he said, oh yeah, we're auctioning things off. And I'm sure it must have been me because I'm not afraid to ask. I said, well, why don't you send Haney and I something, you know, that doesn't sell? And he did. We got Ella Fitzgerald's handkerchiefs. We got a bunch of her Christmas cards that she would save to send out. that were all, you know, stamped with love, Ella. We got a few different things.
I never got one.
Yes, you did. We got a whole bag of the stuff, and we split it up. And I was mad because the handkerchief I had a bit of a stain, and I didn't know what it was.
I wonder if I still have it then.
You must still. They you know, obviously they couldn't give us any big ticket items. But yeah, we got Christmas cards, we got handkerchiefs. I think we might have gotten like a bobby pins. Stuff like that. Because they literally had to get everything out of her house. And well, we got sent some.
And you've always famous as a scat singer yourself.
Yeah, sure. Scoot too boo. Rooty doo too boo. Is it live or is it Memorex?
Rooty doo doo doo.
Scooty roo doo. Let me, before I play.
You know why I couldn't find it?
Couldn't find. Why?
Because in her version, heat and wave are two different words.
Yeah, oh, it's not one word. Heat, wave.
Because I was typing in heat wave as one word.
Yeah, I'm going to take out the traffic music because there is no traffic.
Hasn't been for days.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You'd figure that they'd be on the ball with that stuff. We live in a congested area. What is there something that you got on there? Hold on. What do you got?
No. I don't have anything on there.
Then what are you pointing at it for?
Turn it down.
Turn what down?
My computer.
It was off.
Oh.
Look.
Thank you, Sam.
You all right?
It was off. He's waving at me like he's got some fly in the room.
Oh, like when you had that gnat.
Yeah. Mark Haney in the news, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, June 12th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Tropical heat wave.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Yeah.
Once it gets in your head.
Time now for things you did not know.
Okay.
You familiar with the Great Pyramid of Giza?
Absolutely.
If you were inside that pyramid, what would the temperature be?
It's very dry, and I watch Hawass, Dr. Hawass,
mm-hmm.
that used to go into the pyramids and all that, that says, I don't know what the temperature is, but it's a constant temperature. No matter if it's windstorms, sun blazing down, it's always the same temperature in the pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, it's surrounded by desert. You'd think it's hot.
But it's not.
The temperature inside the Great Pyramid of Giza is always a pleasant 68 degrees.
That is nice and cool in there. I would think that's like some 80 degrees or something. That's unbelievable engineering. How what in the 60s?
68.
Well, that explains how everything's preserved so well. No humidity, cool temperature. You got that's the makings as, of preserving stuff.
As old as that is, there was no such thing as air conditioning then.
No.
To maintain a constant temperature inside a structure like that is amazing.
Junior brought up the model and all the chambers that are in the Great Pyramid of Giza. I wonder if that's where Mike Lindell's Giza sheets come from.
The Giza Plateau. It comes from a certain section of Egypt, and it's the most comfortable cotton in the world. Hold on! I'm interrupting this commercial to tell you about my new book, From Crackhead to Rich Guy.
Yep. And then it's hologram. He turns it from bum look to professional look.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But he gets the cotton for his towels in Georgia.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's the most absorbent cotton.
Oh, that's where the thirsty cotton comes from. If you want to sleep on it, though, you got to go to Giza.
Giza. But don't get drawn into that commercial because he'll interrupt it.
Yeah, just when it starts to get good, he interrupts it.
Yeah.
Junior is a grown man.
Physically, yes, and growing.
But he is fascinated with comic books and superheroes.
Is he? Is that your hobby? You collect comic books?
Not anymore. When I was a kid, I did, yeah.
But he has the action figures and...
The guy that works over at the other station, the hit station in the building, his little sidekick there, is one of the biggest comic book collectors there are. He's got rare stuff. He's a comic book and comic nut. You should talk.
And we should chat.
I didn't know this. Do Batman and Superman know each other?
I'm not a DC fan, so I don't really know.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'm a Marvel guy.
Now
I don't really like DC.
We narrow it down. We narrow it down.
I like Marvel.
Then never mind. This has nothing to do with you, then.
I'm going
to
shut off your microphone.
Yeah, good. Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to shut it off right now.
That's what I get for trying to include you.
Yep, and try to include. Well, you don't like it now, do you? You don't like being when you're not included. Off. Oh, by the way, Haney, not necessarily on the pyramids of Giza.
Oh, boy.
Hey, dudes, the pyramids, hold on, it just went off. Hold on, let me bring it back. It refers to us as dudes. Hey, dudes.
Okay.
We're Stan and Haney.
Sup.
Yeah, that's dope. The pyramids would be like caves, guys. Caves hold a constant temperature as well.
Dude. We're not talking about all pyramids. We're talking about one pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza.
And the temperature's constant.
Make of that what you will, brah.
Broheim.
Theodore Roosevelt. In the comic books, Batman carries a chunk of kryptonite on his utility belt just in case Superman turns evil again.
Oh, good safety precaution. You know, I thought they were supposed to be friends, though. Hey, dude.
But sometimes Superman turns evil, evidently.
Yep, that dude.
Not necessarily. One of America's most popular bands is, of course, Nickelback.
Oh, loved universally.
Oh, you might like some bands and not like others, but everyone agrees on Nickelback.
Yep.
Why are they called that?
What, Nickelback?
Yes.
Because nobody would pay a nickel to see them?
Zingaroo!
Zingaroo! Zabow!
They got their name because one of the members was a cashier at Starbucks, and people would give him $1.50 all day long to pay for a coffee that cost $1.45. And he'd give them
a nickel back.
That's why they're so popular. Yeah. It's that kind of humor.
What a stupid name. And what a stupid story. Jeez.
Stan, you know much about Amsterdam?
I know they got the red light district there, and then drug-wise, anything goes. They got the cafes.
Well, check this out. If you die in Amsterdam, and you don't have any family or next of kin, they will actually have a poet write a poem about you, and they have to recite it at your funeral.
That's effed up, man.
You should have had shotguns for this kind of deal.
Dudes, wine cellars are the same God. 68 degrees, man. We got one of those.
It's Friday.
Yep.
It is Friday. Thank you, Lord.
You know what? Why doesn't this guy go and do a podcast?
Seriously. He probably does.
He probably does. Dudes.
I feel so bad for people that do podcasts.
Why is that?
Because I get up to do this show.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are people that are counting on it.
Yes.
That listen to it.
Yep. And you're paid for it.
Yes. And people that do that for no reason. And they know, because they can see the numbers, that nobody listens to it.
5-6 people.
And they put the effort into it.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for it.
Yeah. And they have to pay so much just to do
yes!
The hosting and all that stuff. It comes out of their own pocket. I'll tell you, great line, Howard Stern, as you state, because he used to take calls and, hey, Howard, we do a podcast. He said, stop with the podcasts. He says, you think you're doing radio because you're doing a podcast? He goes, radio. It's my career. I get paid to do this. I am paid to come on the air and do this. You are paying somebody else just to hear your own voice.
I mean, if you enjoy it, fine.
And he said that. He says, if you enjoy it, great. It's not radio. Stop saying you're a broadcaster. Stop saying you do radio. You have a radio show. You don't. You don't.
You look like you're itching to take a break.
Yeah, we're about that time when we can take a break. You can come back and you can do three.
All right. In a moment.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
You know, mines are cold, too. Everybody's a know-it-all. Everybody.
To the person that said minds are cold, I'd like you for one day to go work in the mine.
Yes.
Come back
yes.
and tell me how cold it is.
How cold it is. And say like, a Mississippi coal mine.
Is there coal in Mississippi?
I'm having a foggiest idea. All I know is
I think West Virginia.
West Virginia coal mine. Then tell me. That's the canary, too.
Because every time I see pictures of those guys in the coal mine, they look like they're sweating their asses off.
Yeah, looks like they're sweating a little bit.
Sorry about that, folks.
That's all right. Everybody's a know-it-all. Go do a podcast.
Yeah, get it all out.
Get it out of your system.
What I say, Bill?
Yeah.
According to a fashion writer,
Oh, and by the way, according to one texter, Nickelback does have one good song.
According to a fashion writer, hot pants are making a comeback.
This is what I hear.
But before you get too excited, these are comfortable hot pants. These are knit short shorts.
Oh.
Meant to be worn around the house.
Oh.
Comfortable knit hot pants.
Thank you, ladies, but you don't have to.
Gentlemen, there is a conspiracy going on.
Darn right there is.
And I don't want you to be a victim of it. The ladies are going to be very upset with me that I've spoiled their fun. But they're up to something, okay? And we don't know how they do this. It's some sort of female underground,
right,
where they all know.
Yep.
And they get a big kick out of making you look foolish. There is a new prank going around on the TikTok where women are asking their significant other to do something that will make them look foolish. Now, keep in mind, the reason this works is because men are used to doing stupid, unreasonable things for women.
Yeah, they're doing what they're told to do.
You know, you see us stumbling around the feminine hygiene aisle, and then after a while, it's like we belong there, and we know exactly which brand we're going for. Yeah.
Sport.
Yep. Sometimes we know this month's been a little difficult. Yeah. Better get the different color.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how they can get away with it. Because we become numb to doing things that don't make sense to us. And we just assume it must be a woman thing. Here's the prank. They're asking their significant others, as they go through the Starbucks drive-through, they tell the husband, "Oh, I know what I want. It's an off-menu item." "Well, what do you want me to get you, honey?" "I want a pinkity drinkity. They'll know." And so the guy goes through and goes, "Yeah, give me one normal coffee and pinkity drinkity." And then the women all laugh, and then the Starbucks drive-thru goes, "I don't know what you're talking about," yeah. And then she goes, "Oh, damn, I didn't hit record on the phone." Yeah. Oh.
Yep. Just humiliation.
Yep. Yeah, and then the women record the barista's confusion over the order. Hilarity ensues, and of course their partner's embarrassed reaction after ordering a pinkity drinkity. That's what amuses them.
Yeah.
So go along with it. What's the harm? But you've been warned.
Yep.
You can save a shred of dignity.
Absolute Law text line. "Haney, I was in a salt mine in Salzburg, Austria. It was about 68 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Were you working in the salt mine?
Bro, I do a podcast about walk-in freezers. And they are way colder than some stupid pyramid."
Yeah. You know, for some reason, I don't remember the basement in the summertime being a pleasant place to be.
You ready for me to hit this?
It was 68 degrees if you had an air conditioner.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm just saying that people living thousands of years before the birth of our Lord and Savior.
I'm agreeing with you, Haney. Don't say it. You're
If you're not impressed with the Great Pyramid of Giza, I can't help you. If you don't understand the enormity of the Pyramid of Giza, it's what they used to call, I think, the only one standing of the original seven wonders of the world.
Yeah. It's amazing.
If you don't understand the precision.
Yeah.
Just, did I say build? Did you hit it?
Yeah. Oh, no, not yet. Next thing somebody will tell us about drilling into a glacier.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you see, the fact that the pyramid is 68 degrees...
It's amazing.
If you were there, it would be kind of surprising... Shut up, Siri. Tell her to shut up.
Shut up, Siri. Go do a podcast. There we go. What?
Is she still yakking?
No, done. That goes on. I can have it muted, and it will still do that.
If you were standing, and it's 122 degrees in the Egyptian desert,
yep,
and you look over at the Great Pyramid... And I have you detained, chained. And I tell you, you see that pyramid over there? It may be so hot that you can't even sweat because it's dry.
Oh, yeah.
And go, I'm going to put you in that giant hot box for a week. You would be terrified. You wouldn't be thinking, oh, it's 68 degrees inside when you're standing in the desert.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
It had to be said, Haney.
Does crime pay? At around 4:30 a.m. Tuesday, a 22-year-old bloke named Daniel Allen was what doctors call high. And he decided it would be a great idea to break into his own grandmother's house in Manchester, England. Grandma was woken up by one of her many cats meowing at Daniel. And when Granny came downstairs, she found her grandson eating her hot dogs.
What?
They got into what she calls a, quote, unpleasant confrontation.
Yeah.
She called the authorities, and Daniel, her grandson, was arrested for burglary and theft for stealing approximately $1.25 worth of hot dogs. Daniel pleaded guilty in court yesterday, and he'll be sentenced later this year because in England they like to take their sweet-ass time. In Daniel's defense, he points out he did respect his grandmother's rules enough to remove his shoes after he broke in the house.
That's good. He's a good boy. There's his picture. Kind of looks like Tom Brady.
Looks like if Tom Brady and Belichick had a baby. And that's the news for today, Friday, June 12th.
Double M, double X.
Of course, that's not going to happen because they broke up.
Yes.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Oh, it's Friday.
Yes. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
I'm spent.
We'll be back, you and me both.
Spain, Beth.
Sizzling, hizzling, after hizzle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Bitch.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. We want to thank you for spending this week with us. It is greatly appreciated. It really is. And for our final break here, believe it or not, we have some traffic for you, so let's get you updated. All right, a couple of things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. 9100 block of San Carlos Boulevard right there in the park. And then in Lehigh Acres, crash, 5600 block of Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I just updated the software on my iPhone. And I was mortified to find out that when you update your software, what used to be the shooting star emoji becomes a meteor. Now, I don't know if Apple knows that the difference is monumental. Because, of course, the shooting star emoji was this gorgeous stroke of iridescence. It'd go from a very deep blue to a very soothing baby blue. It'd be like, ah. The meteor, on the other hand, is this aggressive orange ball of fire. So for the longest time, I thought I was being flirty, when really, I was being a psychopath. I'd get text messages being like, hey, Julio, will I see you later? And I'd be like, I don't know, maybe. When really, I was going, maybe. I brought this up to the genius at the Mac store. And he said, sir, I have to move on with my life.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Lord willing, we'll be back here on Monday, 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy!
What? Hey, guys.
Hey, is this Billy?
Yeah.
Hey, how Billy. How are you doing, buddy? I haven't heard from you in a long time. I hope everything's okay. What's the matter, Billy?
COVID sucks.
Yeah. What, are you not still allowed to go outside or do anything? I mean, you can in Florida here go out a little bit and do some stuff. It's not like you have to be locked up in your house the whole time.
Yeah, not according to my mom.
What, is she making you stay indoors?
Yeah. And I have to wear a mask at all times.
Well, not it shouldn't be at all. In your house, you don't. It's like when you go to the grocery store or when you go to a department store or you do some activity around other people. That's when you wear the mask. You don't have to wear it in your house, Billy.
I do, or I'll be punished.
Why, have you gotten punished already for not wearing your mask?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She yelled at me in front of a bunch of people.
What, a bunch of her friends?
Yeah. It's been nothing but happy hour at my place for the past couple of months.
Oh, I bet you these housewives and ladies, they have their little brunches and cocktail hour and all of that stuff. A lot of drinking going on.
Yeah. Well, I heard that Junior's back.
He is back. This is his first week back.
Is it true that he's like a big music producer?
He likes to say he is. He writes music on the computer. He just can't play it.
Hey, Billy. How you doing, buddy?
Are you a music producer?
I am.
What would you suggest for somebody that wants to get into music? should somebody do like rock, country, or hip hop?
Oh, that's a good question, Billy. Junior, this is coming from an 11-year-old. His name's Billy, and he wants to know what each kind of music he should do.
Well, Billy, what kind of music do you like?
I kind of like a little of everything. It doesn't bother me.
What's your favorite, though, Billy? If you had, like, in your room, and when you have to put the headphones on or the earbuds to get away from Mom, what do you crank?
Probably AC/DC. And I also like Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay. Well, help him out, Junior.
So you want to do something with bands, then? Like,
yeah,
more rock music.
At the same time, I can kind of spit hot fire with my rhymes.
So you want to do a little bit of everything, then?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do, too.
And when I write, it could really go either way. Like, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I wrote a song about my mom. I wrote two songs.
Oh, wow. And you just want to see if maybe Junior can get you in the studio and record them, huh? Maybe have an MP3 of that. A wave.
Yeah, that would be awesome, because I really do have some dope rhymes.
Yeah. So that you have two songs about your mom.
Yeah, because I think one of them would be like hip-hop or trap, and the other one could be country or rock.
Well, trap's really popular down here.
What's trap?
Trap is like a hardcore version of rap.
Right on. That's
a lot
right
of drugs and stuff.
Is that something you're interested in, Billy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do we know how this goes a little bit? Is there cussing in it and stuff like that?
I'm just like light cussing.
Light cussing. No heavy duty stuff, you know. And they a lot of times when they go to Junior's studio, they're packing heat.
Oh, should I?
They got a little side. You got a gun?
I wouldn't recommend it. Not if you're coming to my studio, buddy.
How's that going? Right there.
Oh yeah, because I need to make the producer think I'm hardcore.
You're darn right you do. You gotta leave the producer a little scared.
Well, the producer should be a little comfortable too, buddy.
Mama, I ain't cutting no grass. You keep effing with me, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Way to go, Billy. Kid's got something.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.